Have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. I'm believing God to touch, minister to us tonight. Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." In the New King James Version, this is what it said. "Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift." I want to talk to you tonight for a few moments on a gift beyond description. A very short verse there, but it's really loaded with something the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us about God. This is a time of the year when we're concerned about choosing just the right Christmas present for people. You know, some folks really try to find out what people want. You know, others just buy them a tie or a shirt. Glory. I got my shirt and tie last night. Glory. I bought it, but it was mine. You know, have you ever received an indescribable gift from somebody? Ever received a gift that was beyond description? I thought about that this week, and I was thinking about what kind of gift would it be to be called indescribable? Would it be a gift that you opened and looked and said, "Man, this is just beautiful. It's something I've always wanted." What is it? Have y'all ever got gifts like that? Well, you're being nice, but you ain't got a clue what it is or what it's for. Amen. Or maybe it's a gift that carries a lot of emotional feeling with it. It's given to you by someone very special. It's a complete surprise when it's given. You'll treasure it always because of its memories. But would that make it indescribable and a gift that you can't really describe? Or maybe it'd be a gift that you carried so little about that you just didn't know how to describe how you felt when you got it. Hello? A while back, I was watching Good Morning America, and they were featuring gifts. I think it was last year. Gift ideas that might be called indescribable. One of them was the Jaguar 220. Why, if you wanted to buy one of these for somebody, you put your $80,000 down. They build the car, which they only build 250 of them a year. And on delivery, you owe them $507,000. That's over half a million dollars for a car. Now, they also had another gift on there. Car wax. 8-ounce bottle, $3,400. Now, I guess if you can spend $500,000 on a car, you can spend $3,400 on 8 ounces of car wax for it. Of course, you got to learn how to talk. See, there's a girl in Butte, got her one of those cars, and it was no longer a Jaguar. It was a Jaguar. I told her, I said, "You got a Jaguar?" She said, "No, that's a Jaguar." I said, "Really?" I said, "What's that emblem on the front? It's a cat, ain't it?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Every time I've ever read that cat, it was a Jaguar." Hello? Ah, smile at me. She really got mad when she traded for the Infiniti, and she was bragging about her Infiniti. And I said, "Man, you ain't got but a high-priced Nissan." She said, "You're crazy." And I went back and said, "Look right on the back window. It says Nissan Corporation." Hello? But they also had on there items like a $300,000 gold silver toilet, seat that was inlaid with precious stones. But there's also cheaper gifts, $18,000 Frisbee, $10,000 yo-yo, $12,000 mousetrap, and a $27,000 pair of sunglasses. Amen. And for the proud grandparent, a $28,000 pacifier. I noticed all y'all was running out to buy them like I was. Such gifts do stagger the imagination, but they're not really indescribable because somebody's going to put out an ad to try to sell that stuff. And they're going to describe it, make it sound like it's something you can't live without. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all get indescribable gifts that are really describable every year for Christmas because somebody's been watching QVC. And they'll watch that, and you'll be watching. They'll have something on there like the salad shooter. You don't need a salad shooter, but you'll buy 20 of them just in case. Glory. Come on, church. Smile at me. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're crazy." No, I'm not. I want to describe something to you that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 9. First, the writing about the human gift. The church at Corinth has taken up offerings to give to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. He commends them for their eagerness to help and reminds them that those who sow sparingly will reap also sparingly, and those that sow generously will reap generously. Amen. So Paul in the book of Corinthians chapter 9 is talking about more than one gift. He's talking about your gift to God and how God's going to bless that gift. Church, let me tell you something. If you could ever really comprehend what Paul was trying to tell and what this Bible teaches from cover to cover, if you're faithful to God, God's faithful to you. And whatever you have, you didn't get it. Hello? I don't care if you get to be a multimillionaire and you worked and blood come out the end of your fingers to get it. God gave you breath. God gave you power. God gave you anointing. God gave you the strength to make every dime you got, and every dime you got ought to belong to him. Oh, come on. Some of y'all, oh, he's off on giving again. Man, I can get off on giving quicker than the Church of Christ can get off on baptizing. Glory. Amen. Smile. If you're Church of Christ, I'll baptize you after church. Lord. But then he shifts his attention from the human gift to God's gift of sending Jesus to the earth for us. And he can't find words to describe that gift. He said, thank God for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a time of year that we like to give. People like to depict Jesus and all the things and the wonderful things of Christmas. We've got songs that's been written like Handel's Messiah. And we've got songs that we like to sing like Joy to the World, Silent Night, Old Little Town of Bethlehem, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I mean, we got all kind of songs brings joy to our heart. Glory. I know most of them by heart. Because from about the end of October to January, you get in my car, you're going to hear Christmas music. I got it on XM radio. I got it on FM radio. And if that ain't good enough, I got about 35 CDs with everything from Nat King Cole to Frank Sinatra to Mariah Carey to Alabama singing Christmas. Amen. Because I like it. I like the Christmas songs. I like to hear the poems. I like to see the painters and the sculptors trying to describe what happened on that awesome night when Jesus came to this world. But Paul talks about it and he says it's just not describable. Listen, first of all, I believe it's not describable because of his nature. First of all, I believe that Paul calls Jesus indescribable because of the nature, because you can't describe who Jesus was, how he got here. Words just can't come out. Let's face it. The one that spoke the worlds into existence became a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The one with the power to hang the world where it is and make it stay there became a little baby dependent on his mama to carry him. The one that was used to hearing the angelic choir sing at night came to a world of desolation and downtroddenness to live in a home of a beggar and a carpenter who had very little, but he came because he came to give a gift to a world called everlasting life and peace that pass all understanding. And I'll be honest with you, church, I cannot describe the Jesus that came to this world. God veiled in the flesh, a mystery above all mysteries. Somebody said, well, preacher, it's just not possible. You know, that's what the scientists say. They say it's impossible that a virgin could bring forth a child, but I believe it did. Hello? Because you see, whatever man thinks is impossible is not impossible with God. And you know what? God prophesied this was going to happen. He told the servant, I will put enmity between thee and the seed of a woman. Amen. Somebody say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with Jesus? Galatians chapter 4. For when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Amen. What are you talking about? Man didn't have nothing to do with this one. It was all God and that woman. Glory. Come on, church. Praise God. Some of y'all say, now, preacher, I don't care whether you understand it or not. I don't understand a lot of things, but I believe it. I've never figured out how black cow and eat green grass give white milk, but I love to drink milk. I mean, when I was a little fella, I thought if you milked black cows, you got chocolate milk. If you shook the cow up, you got milkshake. Lord. I don't know how that happened. There's a lot of things I can't explain, but I'm not trying to explain them. I just know they are. Come on, church. I don't know how birds that live in Canada know how to fly south to get out of the winter, but I know they do it. Amen. Last week, we saw about 2 or 3 mile long stretch of them getting out of there because the weather was coming. And I'm like, we ain't stopping, guys. They're leaving. We're going with them. Boy. I was like the guy in the military was running and hit a general. The general said, why are you running? He said, because I can't fly. Glory. Amen. Come on, church, smile. Y'all getting serious here. Amen. But listen, we've got to understand that I think that Jesus is an indescribable gift because of the fact of his nature. Notice how he's described by Isaiah. He said, you're going to call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. How do you describe that? I got a God that is so great, he sits on the circle of the earth and the earth has become his footstool. A God that's so great that the oceans wash in the hollow of his hand. A God that is so great that he can simply take his fingers and snap them and the sparks off his fingers create the stars that he hung in the sky. I got a God so powerful, he can speak the world into existence from nothing. But that same God came in the flesh and abided with us on this earth and even abides with us today. I can't explain it, but I know it happened, and I'm not going to try to do it, but it's an indescribable gift that God has given unto us. Could you say amen? How do you describe that which is spirit when all we have known all along is flesh? How do you describe God who has all knowledge when we ourselves have limited knowledge? How do you describe a God that has all power? We don't have all power. Come on, church. But if we can comprehend what we cannot describe, he's real. Could you say amen? I got a God that is everywhere at all times. Footnote, the devil can't be two places at once. Y'all need to get that through your head. I mean, we'll have 4 people show up to church talking about the devil's my house this morning. It couldn't have been. He's an angelic being with a form. He can't be two places at once. Well, preacher, he was at my house. Not if he was at other sister's house. He couldn't have been there. 9 times out of 10, he wasn't either place. We got a bunch of people in the church that think they're so powerful the devil wants them. Who are you? I don't think Satan gets up every morning going, I'm going to find Ken Stroop and wear him out today. No, he's got demons assigned to me. And sometimes they get to working so good, I get going, oh, the devil's all over the place. He ain't nowhere around. Come on, church. Do you know this? And I'm going to make a statement, going to blow some of your mind. But I doubt most Christians ever actually confront the devil. You confront demons, you confront his imposters, his imps. He say, what makes you think that? Because he always likes to mimic God, and God always sends messengers until it's absolutely necessary he show up himself. Come on, church. And the devil's always mimicked him. So he'll send demons and he'll send imps and he'll send a disembodied spirit to your house and convince you and some little wimp demon been beating on you and you've been running hard and the devil's on me, when what you ought to do is stand up to him and say, hey, wait a minute. The most powerful being in the universe is on my side. And if God be for me, then who can come against me? Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. And said, not only that, but all the angels that are pretty close to the same power that the devil's got, I got a bunch of them hedged around me, and he can't get to me long as I'm in the will of God. Come on, church. Woo. That's good preaching. Glory. But you can't describe God. I want to read something to you. It's going to blow your mind. I read it. It blew my mind. But the council in Chalcedon in 45 AD tried to describe God. Perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood. Truly man of a reasonable, rational, and body consubstation. Coessential with the Father. According to the manhood. In all things like us, without sin. begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead, and in these latter times for us, for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary and the Mother of God, according to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, and distinctively of the natures being by no means taken away by the union. Y'all understand that? I read it and said, boy, they wasted their year. It took them a year to write that because they're trying to describe God. You know what? Paul said, I ain't fooling with that stuff. Thank God for the indescribable gift. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Listen, I think he's indescribable also because of his purpose in coming to the earth. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called the Christ. And ye shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Hello? We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came into the world to save us. God saw that mankind needed saving and that man's humanity to his fellow man needed help. The hope of world peace, the hope of world joy, the hope of everything we had to hang on was in that little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in that manger. And that angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. And while he's talking, the angelic host started singing, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Amen. And a star appeared over where he laid and just followed him around. You say, how do you know it followed him? Because it was moving around where he was so that those men coming from the east, we call wise men, could find him. Amen. And you know, they tried to describe that and they said, oh, two stars hit together and blew up. But they would have burned out in less than a year. And it was over a year before the wise men got there. That light's still there. And it wasn't until they found him and left that that light disappeared. Amen. You say, what are you getting at? God was giving them a sign. He was lighting the way to lead those men to one they were going to call the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Could you say amen? And he came to this world for one purpose, to give us everlasting life. God looked at the world and he knew the greatest need was not to have more wealth. It was not to have more knowledge. It was not to find something else in this world to work with. It was the fact that this world needed a Savior, and he knew the greatest gift he could give mankind was the second Adam to come into this world to break the bondage of sin and to set man free. And thank God that gift did come, and that gift was given, and the price was paid, and we tonight have everlasting life. Could you say amen? He is indescribable in his purpose. He's indescribable because of the grace by which Jesus is given. Every gift that we give at Christmas is given because the recipient of the gift has some type of connection to us. I buy my wife Christmas because she's my wife. And I know that if I don't on December the 26th, I'll be moving. Got a couple of guys sitting there. Not me. Then you don't own your house. That's the only way you'll stay there if she leaves. Glory. You might not like that idea, but it's actually frank and honest that I'll buy a gift for my wife. I'll buy a gift for my children because they're my children. I'll buy a gift for my friends because they're my friends. Sometimes we buy gifts for people because they bought us something last year and we feel obligated. Hello? If I give a gift to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and to take care of the homeless, I do it because deep down inside I recognize a debt to humanity and a feeling of obligation to those who are less fortunate than I am. That's what makes God's gift so special. He doesn't owe us anything. Indeed, we are in constant rebellion against him and against his will for our lives. Hello? With that in mind, Paul tells us something in Romans chapter 5. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gives gifts not because he feels obligated. He gives gifts not because his love has got us connected to him, but because his love is overwhelming and his grace is far beyond sufficient. Hello? Come on, church. He don't give to us because we give to him. I get so sick of these TV preachers saying, oh, you'll give, then God will give back. But if you don't give, you ain't getting nothing. My Bible said if you give to get, you've already got your reward. The joy of thinking you got something coming. Hello? But if you just give because you love God and you're not worried about whether it comes back or not, then God's going to find a way to bring it back. Come on, church. We got folks been paying tithes all their life. Come on. I've been paying tithes. God's got to give me so-and-so. God ain't got to give you nothing because you did what you're supposed to do. I've had people come by, I've been paying tithes faithful for 25 years. I said, so I'm supposed to brag because you did what you're supposed to do. I lost a couple of you on that. I'm sorry. But I don't think you ought to get excited about something you're supposed to do. That's like a kid running downstairs. Hey, I brushed my teeth this morning. You're supposed to brush your teeth. You shouldn't get brownie points for brushing your teeth. I don't know about y'all, but I used to get popped upside the head if I didn't brush my teeth. Ah, come on. So I said, he's off on money again. I told you. You got to realize the gift of grace that God gave us, not because he's obligated. Church, I believe in fasting, but fasting is not going to make God bless you any quicker than just being faithful. Come on, church. I had a guy one time, I was talking about fasting. I said, I fasted 3 days. He said, if you don't go 7 days, you ain't fasted. Guy looked like a toothpick with a head stuck on him. I ate more food in 1 day than he done 7. So if it's sacrifice we're talking about, I'm wearing him out in 3 days. Glory. I'm standing there, and he's trying to make me look bad. He said, yeah, you can't fast but 3 days. You don't love God. I looked at him. I said, maybe I'm not so messed up. It takes me 7 days to get back where I need to be. Glory. Nothing wrong for extended fast, but I've seen people go on extended fast talking about God's got to do so-and-so. God ain't got to do nothing because you fasted. You fast because of you. You fast to get you in a place where you can communicate with God, to get you humble and broken before him and submitted to him in humility. It is not for God. God is going to be God whether you fast or you don't fast, but he's telling you that he loves you, and because he loves you, he's already given you the gift. He's already given you the opportunity to come into his house, to be a part of his family. Could you say amen? Listen, I believe it's indescribable because of his effect on us. Stay with me. I only got 7 more pages. What happens when I receive the gift of God? When you open the gift this Christmas, will your life be different? When you receive the gift that's been purchased for you by loved ones, will this change your life and make you different? Or will you be the same as you've always been? Now, I remember when Christmas used to change me in this world, because when Christmas was over with, I had to figure out how to pay for it. I'd open the gift, go, oh, man, that's charged sure as I'm sitting here. Come on, church. But that's not what I'm talking about. Do you open a present that suddenly makes your life totally different? So the next day you've got a new thought pattern. You've got a new lease on life. You've got a new attitude. See, that's what you've got to realize. The effect that this gift has on your life is indescribable. I don't know about y'all, but the wonderful thing about this gift is it doesn't just happen on the 25th of December, but it's 24/7, 365 days out of the year. Every time you get in an altar and you're willing to open the gift, it's got an effect on you, because when you open the gift God's given you, it's going to change your life. You're going to go from lost to found. You're going to go from blind to having vision like you've never had vision before. You're going to go from a life full of turmoil and trial to a life of peace and joy and happiness like you've never known before. You're going to go from a life of bondage to a life of liberty through the power of God's grace, because there's something different about the way this gift will affect your life. Could you say amen? Amen. Old things pass away, all things become new, because when you come in contact with Him, the effect of this gift on your life is indescribable. Because you see, when He comes into your life, you no longer are who you were. You become somebody, because you become a child of the King. Whew. Some of y'all missed that because you're still sitting there looking at me. Huh? Some of y'all might not have been raised the way I was. I was raised in a home that whatever belonged to my mom and daddy belonged to me. Hello? I walked my mom and daddy's house after me and Freddie got married. That first thing I done, she'll tell you this, I went to the refrigerator to see if mom had cooked something I liked to eat. If it's there, I didn't say, can I have it? I just got down and started eating it. Unless it was marked, I didn't get in trouble. And she knew that every one of her kids come through that door, they were looking for something, they'd go see if there's something I could get. And if she didn't mark it, we'd eat it. If she put on that don't touch or leave alone, there'd be a little paper on there, and you'd know not to do it. Me and my brothers come in from hunting one day. We've been down across the back 40. I walked up and opened the door. I smelled something. I thought, oh, mama knew it's coming. I looked in the oven, and you know, there's four of us. There were 40-some hot dogs. I said, look at him, boys. Mama knew we was coming. Ain't just enough for us. Glory. We went in there and got a cork fruit jar and filled it up with tea. We got out on the back porch, and we set that whole tray out on the back porch. We eat them. Every one of them. We got a homemade kraut and some mustard and ketchup, and we was out there. We was tearing them hot dogs up. My dad walked up and fixed the last one. And he got it and he's biting it. He said, your boy's in trouble. My older brothers were already in fear, because dad looked up and said, your mom's cooking them for some ladies from the church coming over. She had no clue y'all were coming by here today. We said, well, Dad, we thought she's fixing us. She said, she ain't going to be happy y'all eat her hot dogs. I said, well, you eat one. He said, I'm leaving for work, and I won't be back till tomorrow. I didn't get in trouble. I got in the car. I went to the local grocery store, and I bought 3 or 4 packs of ham, a couple of loaves of bread. I made ham and cheese sandwiches, and I cut them in half, stuck them on that tray, and those two trays, and slid them back up in the oven and turned it on warm and walked out. And I was in the back room because I was still living at home. They all went home. I went in the back room, and them ladies showed up, and they were getting ready to have their fellowship. Mama said, yeah, I've got some hot ham and cheese sandwiches here. She looked down that hall at me like, what's going on? If I have that same mentality with God, I understand that my father owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. And he owns the hills that those cows are munching on. And whatever I need, my God can provide my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I learn to believe in it and trust in it, and trust in the power of God to move in my life. Could you say amen? Glory. The effect is indescribable when God gets in your life and you go from being a nobody to a child of God. That's what Paul said. He said, I might have been a Pharisee of Pharisees, but I was lost. I was undone. I was on my way to hell till I bumped into a man on a road going to take some people out. And he changed my life. And I might have had a problem because I went blind, but I got delivered. Amen. And then he said this. He said, I cry, my Father, which art in heaven. Whew. He said, preacher, you don't understand. No, you don't. Read the whole sentences. Read how he developed his way through. Read how he dealt with his transition. Oh, wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that in my mind I serve the law of God, but in the flesh I serve the law of sin. Now, if you stop there, you see a man bound in sin. But he goes on in the 8th chapter and the 1st verse, which is a continuance of his statement. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, for the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the laws of sin and death. And I have not received the spirit of bondage but the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, Abba Father, or my Father which art in heaven. I want to tell you something now. I can enter into his gates and give thanksgiving and praise unto him, come before his throne with boldness, because I'm a member of the family. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Stand with me all over the house. The indescribable gift of God to each and every one of us changes who we are to who we're going to be. If we ever comprehend that, we understand we are never going to be without. I didn't say you wouldn't worry from time to time about it, but God will always come through. Father God, I believe you tonight for your love, for your mercy. Spirit of the living God, I know your grace is sufficient. Father God, I thank you tonight for the indescribable gift. A gift that came into my life and changed me forever.